Hafadegwam, I'm Adriana Katero, and you are tuning in to The Greater Good. Today I am joined here with Agwaran Iriarte, the owner of Maisa Guam.
Yes.
Okay, good. Got the name, so we're off to a good start. So, Agwaran, tell me a little bit about your company. I know you have a business, it's all about sustainability.
Correct.
And I know just talking to you prior, you said you're about 2 years, so kind of fresh
in
the company. So, yeah, I'm eager to learn all about it. So tell me how you got started with this business.
Okay, so the way I define Maisa, I define us as a social entrepreneurship aimed at promoting waste consciousness and mindful consumption here on Guam. And our overall mission is to kind of get people to think more critically about what they throw in the bin, right? Because nothing is ever thrown away, right?
Right.
It goes somewhere unless it's made of natural material. So we offer about 15 different products in our product line. We were known for, in the beginning, we were just offering stainless steel straws in ethically sourced straw pouches, but we've branched out and now we offer bamboo toothbrushes, shampoo bars, package-free body bars, reusable razors, tons of different things that kind of help you.
The beach bags, right?
Yes, the Talata
Toes. Are they okay to call it beach bags? Oh, yeah,
well, I call it Talata Toes.
I see those everywhere and I'm like, and you know what? I definitely have identified it to
Maisa
Guam. And I'm like, okay, so what does a Maisa mean? I'm sorry, I'm not from here, like you said,
no
so
worries.
I'm learning though.
Okay, so Maisa is the ancient Chamorro word for the number one, and when I was thinking about how to go about naming the company, I knew I wanted it to have a local flair. I wanted it to be a Chamorro word, and I mean, I'm not a creative person, believe it or not, and so I remember someone coming up to me and they were asking me what you're going to be selling. I told them I'm going to be selling stainless steel straws. They said, well, if I use a stainless steel straw in my cup, it doesn't really make that big of a difference, right? And I thought, you know what, that's all it takes is one person to make an impact.
Yeah.
And so hence the word Maisa means the number one, because I believe we all in our own little sphere and bubble can make a difference.
Right, just one person reusing,
anything, whether it's a straw, cup, anything like that.
Wow. Okay, so you are one person who started this initiative, and you are the sole owner of this.
Yes.
What drove you to wanting to do this? You grew up here in Guam,
I'm sure,
and you kind of saw
the
way of life, or I mean, you know, your way of life brought you to this.
So I've always been very eco-conscious, right? So this recurring joke whenever I'm giving speeches or whatnot, in high school, because Guam is very much like the state's car-centric culture. In high school, all of my friends and I would talk about what's your dream car, and my friends were like, oh, I want a BMW, I want a Lexus. For me, it was a Prius, and that kind of, and I remember seeing an ad in a National Geographic magazine, and I sort of tore it out, put it in my binder at school, and kind of worked towards that goal, and that's still the car I drive today. So always been very eco-conscious growing up, but really the origins of Maisa started when I was living off-island for a little bit, and a friend of mine gave me my first stainless steel straw set. And I was kind of blown away. It was this light bulb moment where I thought, I never even thought about my daily coffee consumption, because I work right nearby at a financial institution. I used to work there. And I used to go to Infusion every single day.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah,
we got an Infusion right there.
Yes, I went there every single day. I would order my cold brew and never thinking about what my action on a daily basis was doing in terms of contributing to our landfill and this whole plastic problem. And so upon returning to Guam, I thought, you know what, it'd be a great Christmas present to gift my girlfriends their own stainless steel straw set. So I went to all the, and this is a perennial problem on Guam, finding things you need, right? If we can't find it locally, we turn to Amazon or Walmart. Couldn't find anywhere on Guam that sold stainless steel straw. So I forget who it was. It was either my mom or one of my best friends told me, if I were you, I would bring in a few couple hundred, see how they sell. So that's when I began the early stages of applying for a business license. And this was just supposed to be like a part-time gig, and it still is. I ordered 200 straw sets, plan on selling that, and then kind of to make some residual income and then just kind of let it write it out and not think. I thought I would sell the 200 and not continue after that, but I sold those 200 in under a week. So
oh, wow.
I kind of knew that I had something good going, and people were very responsive to the whole plastic straw movement, and it kind of took off from there, and we're here today.
Wow. Yeah. So it started with this 200, and you said it was within a week span.
Yeah, under a week. So I had like a little factory in my living floor with my friends and my cousins. I'm like, okay, well, I respond to messages on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You guys pack. And oh, so although I'm the owner, I have so many other people to thank for its success.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Wow, how beautiful. So, you know, just going after that, you're saying here we are today. So how mm-hmm. I actually found you was through my friend Ashley Pangalinan, who lives in Saipan. And you were doing a pop-up shop there,
correct,
in Saipan.
Yeah.
So can you speak about that, about how you're not only here in Guam, but you're also mm-hmm. going around the Marianas, and what has brought you to want to provide these services there?
Well, the problem of plastic pollution and waste isn't just a Guam-centric issue. This is a worldwide problem. And my decision to go to Saipan was really because we've had so many inquiries about, we have so many customers there who asked us to go there because, like Guam, I mean, before MISA came into the market, there was really no one offering the type of products we had. I was a regular user of shampoo bars, but I would have to pick up my shampoo bars when I go to Manila or Tokyo or the States, and I happened to stumble upon a Lush store, right? And at that point, I would have to stock up on like a dozen shampoo and conditioner bars.
I haven't heard Lush in so long.
Yeah, or I would have to order from online, and Lush US doesn't ship here, but Lush UK does. Not to endorse my competition, but like, that's the problem we have here. So in Saipan, they have that same exact issue,
uh-huh.
right?
Oh yeah, probably even
and
worse,
so,
right?
Even getting, worse,
oh,
yeah.
I lived there for a year and a half, so
yeah.
Finding things, I understand it.
Exactly.
But then you learn how to make do, kind of.
Yeah.
Sense, right?
You have to become very, you become
resourceful.
Very resourceful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and creative. So why not offer that, these type of products that I use to the everyday consumer here on Guam, in the hopes that they would use them.
So what kind of feedback have you received from, you know, the consumers that you have reached out
to? Oh, amazing, amazing. Well, if it wasn't for our customers, of course, we wouldn't be able to expand and grow to where we are today. Like I said, all the products that we sell, I personally have used them, and prior to selling them, I was ordering them from various different online stores. And we continuously look at ways we can evolve and innovate. We consistently ask our customers, what else do you want to see? But the thing is, it's so difficult when you're a sustainable business that wants to source ethically. How do you source products from other like-minded businesses mm-hmm. that are aligned with your own values? It's just this entire, it's extremely complicated, but the feedback has been very, very good, and we continue to grow. We've stabilized. There's so many other plans. I don't know. We'll probably get to that later on, but
mm-hmm, yeah, we can get to that right now, actually, because
okay.
it's, you know, as you're mentioning, grow.
Well,
if you want to segue into
okay.
that, but so as you're mentioning growing, so where do you sell your products? Is it, are
mm-hmm.
you mainly just online and people order it through you there? I know you have the pop-up shop. I actually just was in Saipan and I saw the products at Mariana's Creation.
Yes.
So that's in Saipan, but however here in Guam and where else?
In Guam, well, we only have one boutique that sells our entire product line, and that's the Blue Amber Trio Boutique. They are an amazing team at Chamorro Village. They do so many good things. Our straws are available at Asiga Cafe, Healthful Choice in Barragata, and I'm very careful about where our products are sold, because I don't want to just put our products anywhere, right? We want our products to be sold in establishments that, again, reflect our values and align with what we believe in, hence Blue Amber Tree Boutique, and we don't sell anywhere else except them.
All your products?
Yeah, all
okay.
our products.
So,
but we do deliveries. I do deliver locally, which is during my lunch break at work, because MISA is in my full-time job. This is just my little passion project. So we do deliver locally, too, if you have difficulty finding transportation.
So your passion project, right?
Yes.
That's what you said? I love that. And that's essentially why I really started this podcast, is to voice and let other people know these opportunities so they can also
mm-hmm.
join in on these efforts, or just know that, you know, their passion can make a difference. So
mm-hmm.
could you just speak on behalf of that about how you, you know, discovered this passion and how it's brought you to some, I'm sure, fulfillment?
That's such a deep question.
It's okay, you can take a minute.
I think we all have a passion in life, right? For me, it was really Well, someone asked me once, what benefit do you get out of it? Well, of course, owning a small business, you are able to generate side income. But more than that, I mean, this business by no means has made me a millionaire. What really drives me is when I get to talk to people, especially young people. I've spoken in schools and they ask me questions like, why is this important? Why do you do what you do? And I think it really comes down to just wanting to make Guam specifically a greener and better place. I mean, I work in Agania, and driving down here through Teeds and through Barragata, I just see the amount of litter on the roadways. I just posted while I was waiting out there in the lobby, I posted a question to my followers and I said, you know, the amount of litter on the roadways that's visible is just enormous. What, imagine if we could see what lied beyond that, right? It would just be staggering, and it makes me heartbroken, and I can only do so much. Mm-hmm. So more than just selling products and running this business, I hope to really use my platform to advocate for people to really think more critically about what they throw in the trash. And even if you don't litter,
picking up someone else's trash
or making sure that you only buy things you need and are a much more conscious consumer can go an extremely long way.
And all it takes is
Misa.
All it takes is Misa? Yeah. Is that how you can say it like that? Is that okay?
Yeah,
can we start a new catchphrase?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
We can work on a new slogan, right?
Yeah. Okay, so as you continue to grow and move forward, what's next?
What's next for Misa? I'm actually leaving in July for graduate school.
Okay.
I'm going to the States. I'm actually really heartbroken about it because Misa's like my little baby. I'm sad. I'm not letting it go. I'm passing the reins on to someone else. I'm still going to be the sole proprietor, but have someone oversee it, downsizing the product line because we have, like I said, I have over 15 products and I'm usually the one who I'm managing customer inquiries, delivering to our merchants. It's quite difficult. So kind of downsizing, seeing what we kind of know after operating for almost 2 years now, what works best for us and what sells best and what people are asking for. And so we still plan on expanding, if that makes sense, expanding, but also consolidating our operations so that we can offer people more of what they want and what they need.
Well, congratulations on grad
thank
school.
You, thank
yeah, that's
you.
Exciting. A big
yeah.
step. So congratulations on
thank
that.
You.
Let's talk about the products. So
yes.
You said you're going to be downsizing them a bit. What are some of the top sellers? And if you could just explain all the products.
This time last year, about 80% of our sales were concentrated in stainless steel straws. Now, stainless steel straws are so ubiquitous. You see them everywhere. They saturate the market. So while we'll still be offering that, what we're expanding is our refillables, so like our shampoo and conditioner bars. Right now we only have one of each. We'll be expanding to over 6 different offerings because we all have different hair types, right? And we've all
my hair is like
right?
completely different than anyone else's hair, but
sort of hair care, body care. Our soaps are packaged free, like I mentioned, and one thing that I love about shampoo and conditioner bars is I haven't used shampoo in a conventional plastic bottle in probably 3 years.
Wow.
And probably one of the most liberating feelings is not, like when you're in the shower, right, and you're down to your last itty bit of shampoo, you kind of hit it against your hand and get that little bit out, and then you open the shower curtain and you toss it in the bin. That feeling, although it seems so trivial, is actually very empowering, not knowing that you're throwing anything away. And so my soaps are probably the thing I'm most passionate about, which is why I think I've decided to expand that.
Okay.
Because we can't keep up. We probably make about 200 shampoo and conditioner bars every month and a half, and that isn't enough. So I'm kind of in the process of, again, like I said, grooming a few other people to take over and that part of the process so we can offer that to customers.
And then some of your other products you have, you said toothbrush?
Yeah, bamboo toothbrushes.
Okay.
So again, plastic toothbrushes, like any other plastic product, take hundreds of years to kind of biodegrade, and again, we don't even know if that's that time frame is accurate, because plastic toothbrushes haven't been around for 400 years, right? These are all guesstimates by scientists. So bamboo toothbrushes that are completely compostable. We have another one I use on a regular basis are metal safety razors.
Okay.
Razors also are made of plastic, our own are. And it's actually not anything new. When I've gone to my pop-ups and sometimes we get Manumko who come to visit and they see these old safety razors and they're like, this is what I used to use back
in
the 50s or 60s, right? Something I never knew.
Yeah.
And so I guess helping, not going back to the 50s or 60s in terms of progress, but looking at what we've done, what our parents and grandparents have done in the past, and adopting good habits and good traits from that and bringing that to to the forefront today. I can think of some body bars, my straws,
your totes.
The tote bags, our utensil kits, our utensil kits are tote bags, and our Kostat tote jute bags, those are all made in a woman's co-op in the Philippines. So again, going back to ethical sourcing, it isn't about, because it's so easy for us, our straws of course are mass manufactured, it's so easy to mass produce all of these items, bring it to Guam, hire a photographer to make it look pretty and espouse this message of sustainability. But if we're not practicing that within our supply chain too, then we're sort of hypocrites, you know? So, and people can find images of the artisans who've made our utensil kits and bags on our Instagram and Facebook.
So, your products are, I mean, essential items, everyday uses.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, soap, you also have toothbrush, razors, things that people use on the day, straws, utensils, but no clothing items other than the
clothing
items.
So,
is there a reason why you decided to do this?
To not include clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Or just keep it with.
We don't have the scale to do it right now. Again, it's just myself, my partner, and my cousin who does it when she's done at school, when she's done with her classes at UOG. I think there are a lot of great clothing brands out there as is who make items from organic cotton. You know, there's Season Sidewalks at Shemore at a Micronesia Mall. There's Vita Local at, again, a shopping center she just opened. I would love to, and my goal one day and my dream is to come back after finishing and open up my own little zero waste shop. I have the exact location in mind. If no one scoops it up before,
maybe
I'm
don't
able
say
to.
It then.
Yeah,
just
kidding. I won't.
Keep that hidden gem.
Yeah, and it's not a Ganya shopping center marketplace. Okay, gotta put it out there. But that's the goal. If I was to bring in clothing, I probably wouldn't make it Mysa branded. I would support other businesses, like-minded businesses, other international brands that can do it so much better than us. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're kind of doing what we do best.
Mm-hmm. So how could you encourage others to, you know, almost follow their passion and regardless if it's, you know, because you said you just were going to gift it to friends, and then you almost had this like aha moment and you saw you saw an opening and you took it. So for those that might be, you know, a little iffy on taking that extra step and not knowing where it may lead.
From a small business standpoint, honestly, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You need to have a sufficient amount of capital, and by that you need to have money. I was lucky enough to be financially savvy, to have some money set aside, which I used to start up the business. If you're lacking in the cash area, you might want to reach out to your, look into your network and see if anyone would invest in you, basically. And go from there, have a plan, sit down. When I started, I kind of outlined, after the success of the initial launch, I kind of outlined my next few steps, you know, organizing it, because if you just kind of, you know, we're kind of conducting this interview on a whim, right? But having a plan is extremely important. And I think if you want to start a business, you need to have money. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. You need to have some financial support. Otherwise, you're gonna
be struggle.
It'll be a struggle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said you're going to grad school. Mm-hmm. You're leaving in
July.
In July.
Yeah.
Are you going to study anything?
It's sustainability management. Yeah. So again, it's looking at sustainability from a business standpoint. So every business, whether they look at whether they know it or not, they have a social and environmental impact. And the job of the field that I'm going into is to help businesses, whether it's a bank or a large clothing manufacturer, to look at ways they can streamline operations so that it meets certain environmental standards. Mm-hmm. A good example is GCC, all the new GCC buildings now are LEED certified buildings. The Code 360 headquarters building is a LEED certified building. These are steps that these businesses didn't need to take, but did take because they saw the importance of what it means to reduce their own, or looking at ways they can reduce their own carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
While still growing and innovating. And I think it's such a selling point for customers because consumers like myself support businesses that offer services and have products that are aligned with my values. And I hope that people out there, when they go out to buy things from businesses, do the same.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So as an undergrad, did you study this as well?
It was economics. So
economics.
In a way, you can relate it. It's all about choice. And I mean, oh, it's just hard because we live in a consumerist culture. Guam is, I mean, what's there to do on a weekend besides going to the beach, shopping at Ross, and whenever I'm in these stores, not to name any stores,
sounds
I'm
so
sorry.
Hard. Going to the beach
is
good
enough. Right? It's difficult because we equate our free time to shopping and purchasing things we think we need, but we actually don't. I struggle with that on a daily basis too, but I think just being aware of it,
mm-hmm.
and being conscious of what you're doing, even in the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
I love cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
I love cherry tomatoes, but I haven't bought cherry tomatoes in so long because they only come in plastic. It's like this plastic green basket with plastic covering over it. So I just choose not to buy, and I choose to buy Roma tomatoes instead.
Mm-hmm.
So little things like that really add up, and if we all did that collectively,
mm-hmm.
it would force businesses who didn't otherwise consider going green to consider going green because
mm-hmm.
that's what customers are demanding.
Because they'll see it.
Yeah.
It just takes one, right? I
mm-hmm.
love that. I love that that's kind of your whole central idea behind it. Definitely. Okay. So for those that do want to buy any of your products, how can they? And if they don't know where the pop-up shop, I can tell them all right now.
We're on Facebook or Instagram
at
Maisa Guam. If you live off island, we can ship out to you.
Oh, you
we
do?
We can coordinate
okay.
that Facebook message or Instagram message. Again, locally, we're available at Blue Amber Trio Boutique. We're available at a few other places, but those are kind of niche. I suggest everyone going there. And we deliver.
And you deliver.
And we
okay.
deliver.
So whenever there are opportunities to have a pop-up shop, do you typically
mm-hmm.
just kind of jump on
well,
those?
Well, it depends because having a pop-up shop is extremely laborious. Like going to Saipan, I don't think I'd be going back again anytime soon.
It was tough.
It's
bringing everything.
Tough. Yeah. Our next pop-up is end of March. It'll be on we'll announce it on our Instagram. It's going to be at Top of the Mar in conjunction with the Guam USO office. Blue Amber Trio.
End of March,
you
said?
Yes. Blue Amber Trio is your best bet.
And so you're pretty active on social media then?
Active. We post probably 3 to 4 times a week.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and typically, like you mentioned, you were just out there in the lobby posting on your Instagram story.
Yeah,
so
we don't just sell products. We also, like I said, we kind of aim to inform the average person on Guam about the latest environmental happenings. Like there was a recent statistic that Guam was, I think, either first or fourth in the nation for the amount of waste output per consumer at around like 4 to 7 pounds of trash a day. I can't remember. It's astonishing.
Yeah.
And that's all of our purchases from the aforementioned establishments that we're buying and not needing. So, again, conscious consumerism.
Yeah. Yeah. And bringing awareness to it. Awareness is always the first step because, you know, a lot of people don't even know. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm from Michigan, and then I didn't really, I'm not going to say I littered when I was in Michigan. I will never say that out loud, but, you know, I wasn't as conscious of it. You know, like if something, you know what I mean? So moving here to the islands now, I have been like, no, like I am so against it. But I, you know, I used to use straws in Michigan. Now when I'm here, oh my gosh, if I see a straw in my drink when I get it, I'm, how dare you? No, get that away.
And
so
that's the goal, I think, is for when I want to make using a plastic straw, not just a straw, because using a straw is such a minimal step, right? Mm-hmm. But even plastic bags, making it get to a point where it's almost taboo for you to be seen with a plastic straw or with a plastic bag. Mm-hmm. And even when I go to a restaurant and by default they put a plastic straw in my cup, they're going to throw it away anyway, so I use it. But the feeling, I feel almost, it's almost sacrilegious, honestly, to use it. And that's the kind of, I don't want to shame people, but that's what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I'm so over.
But it just, you know, people aren't aware. That's what it is. So it's also helping bring awareness to it. And you know, it's a funny, little quick funny story. My parents actually own a sports bar and grill in Michigan. So I had went home after being on the islands. And I was there and I was like, you know, my family's restaurant. So I started making these signs and it's like, ask if you want the straw first. Ask if you want. I was drawing turtles and I'm not a drawer. So they're like, what is that? I'm like, it's the message. It's the message. It's the message.
Yeah.
So I put them all around the restaurant. My parents were like, Adri, and I'm like, yep, this is happening. Yeah. These signs are staying here because, I mean, if they knew just to ask the waitress to bring the drink without the straw, that's like the first step, right?
Yeah.
So, because automatically, and you know, I used to waitress and bartend there growing up and help manage the restaurant. So I would automatically put a straw right there and, you know, it just goes with it.
And it's not your fault or my fault. It's the way society has kind of been built around, again, mass consumerism, and it's just having, yeah, educating people to kind of shift their mindset on doing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, what I've learned, too, is that rather than, you know, it's not like I'm telling people what to do, but teaching, right? And having the patience to be able to say, like, you can opt for this if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But, I respect it. I love it.
Thank you.
Of course. And thank you for the work you do. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we head out of here?
That's it. But thank you for the opportunity to come on your show.
Thank you. And seriously, thank you for bringing the awareness to the cause altogether.
Of course.
Yes, and thank you all for watching. I'm Adriana Cotero for the Greater Good.